All of you that when I'm talking, you're busy thinking, he's talking about other men of God. Yes, you. And even if you just take off your mind from trying to put your head where you have no business and face what is before you. If you're trying to listen to me and you're busy trying to judge me too, you're very unfortunate. You can't judge me. To my master, I stand or fall. If I'm wrong, let me be wrong. To my master, Romans 14, none of your business, zero of your business. You can't judge me and even be that right. You're likely wrong, fully. So don't bother about it. But it sounds like how I sound is inconsequential. Only one thing matters. Am I saying right now what the Lord wants me to say? Only God knows. Even me, I'm not sure. Is it you that now knows? Who lets you into the inner workings of spiritual things? So take your head out of my space. Bring your ears for feeling. Hear for yourself. Always listen for yourself. I have a lot of loose ends to start tying up. So there are callings, there are giftings, and you're going to have to develop it. Evangelism, everybody, Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. That's how he said it. And I don't want to, I've thought on these things on and off over the years. I'll do more in the school of ministry. Some of you are supposed to have gone through the school of ministry from beginning to end by now. You're wasting time. You are not wise. I've advised you, I advise you again. Set aside a number of hours every day or every week. Clear. Non-negotiable. Don't negotiate it. Don't say, I felt like. Don't feel. Cut it out like this. 4 hours. I'm going to the school of ministry. You may have not been here. We already have more than 200 hours. No. How many classes? 200 classes. Is it classes or hours of classes? All the GAMCA people in the overflow. You're not sure. And I sack. Some of you, you know, don't know what your area of responsibility. My job is to teach. Your job is to keep records. See him there. Okay, after you go and ask Ambi, ask Mr. Ambi. We already have, how can it be hours? Only 200 hours. I doubt it. How many hours is in a day? 24. 24 times. Divide that by 2, 20. 200 is what? 100 classes? Maybe. Almost 200 or more, as far in my head, classes. To even cover that will take you a good portion of your life. So the only way you're going to do it is to assign yourself a clear time. This is the only way. All those have succeeded in it. That's the only way they've done it. It's an online course. If you're here physically, you don't have to. You may not be able to afford the data. So you can ask for the videos. So you collect it. Put on your phone. Put on your laptop. Put on a hard drive. Put on something. If you're far away, you access it online. And you say, I'm going through this ministry of the saints, the 7 kinds of ministry, giftings, their characteristics, all that. Then I'm going through the 4 focuses of the church. I'm going through the apostolic Christological foundation. That's a lot still going on. We are in phase 2, 201. We finished 101 1 year and a half ago. You know, we are going through that. Then I'm going to go through spiritual warfare. I'm going to go through all the works of the flesh, every single one addressed, all the fruits of the spirit, all the armor of God, every single one, the 3 kinds of places or territories for warfare, and so on. 110 lectures, total 194. This is old now. It was 194. All the ones I've taught, 194 hours. All the ones I've taught in the last how many months. This is old information. It's not updated. Is this up till the present? No, this is not updated. This is old. So it can be 200 plus hours. But so even the number of lectures, 110, not correct. It's not up to date. This is from last year. Anyways, so it's more than this. So if we have, let's say, 120 or 30 or 40 lectures already, some are an hour long, some are 2 hours long, and some might even be slightly more than that. Two hours and a half. You need to go through all of that. Why? Oh, you need it for ministry. I remember the thing that came to me. God speaks to me in the bathroom often. I think he speaks to others too. The thing. I was in the bathroom today having a bath. I always listen to my word, bathroom words. But never joke with it. If you are wise, you're not joking with bathroom words. Don't ever joke with it. Many of you, now everyone is called to ministry. The word ministry is diaconia. Go through the series of ministry. It means service. That's what the word means. Ministry means service. A minister is what? Servant. That's all. In the time of the Bible, when they say, diaconia, come here. It means servant, come here. It doesn't mean, so in English, minister, come here. It doesn't mean, oh, man of God, come. That's not what it means. It means boy. It means, come here, let me send you. And God chose to call us servants. Chose to call us those who serve him. The difference is that you're a servant of God or the church. Phoebe, Acts chapter 16, is a servant of the church. We saw it on Wednesday when I was answering questions. A female. She was a diaconia, a diaconos, to serve, diaconia, to be a servant, a diaconos. That, guess the English word, deacon. That's where the English word deacon comes from. Deacon. Our sister, Phoebe, a diaconess of the church in Kenya. Very straightforward. Her job was to serve. You serve the Lord by serving his people. That's how you serve the Lord. You don't stand and lift up real incense and shake to the sky. God is not interested. But you can lead his people to prayer, praise him. That's incense. When you wash their feet, helping them clean up from the dirt they have picked up in this world, this sinful world. That's what Jesus did on that night. He washed their feet. Your feet is the part of you that comes in contact with this earth and that gets defiled the most. And he showed them. He said, what I just did, you won't understand, but you will understand. Peter went like, you cannot wash my feet. And Jesus is busy trying to say, hey, I want to paint a picture. Sit down and pay attention. And when he said, I will never allow you, Jesus went, then you have no part in me. Because that's what happens when you become defiled by sin continually. You lose your place. Don't believe anyone that says sin will not separate you from God. The Bible is very clear that sin separates you from God. Isaiah says, is it my hand too short? Is my ear blocked from hearing you? Your sins have separated you from me. It's very clear. Sin separates. So he tells Peter, for those that are still struggling, is it sin? Sin will delete you, your name from the book of life. Revelation 3 verse 5. Sin will delete, it will erase. Jesus, God said to Moses, remove my name from your book. He said, it is the one who sins that I'll remove his name. It couldn't be clearer. Now you're wondering, which sin? Is it when I lied yesterday or committed? No, that's not how it works. Sin. You would have to resist God consistently and simply become God over God. That's what Peter, the picture. He told him, if I don't wash you, remember it was a picture. He was illustrating. He said, you don't understand. You will understand. Let me wash your feet first, Peter. And he used that picture he was using, not physical washing. That's why we have never washed people's feet physically here. Because it was just a picture. Thank you, Jesus. Did I say anything? See, self-control. My God. And he told Peter, according to this picture, this illustration I'm carrying out now, if you don't allow your food washing to happen, and it comes from the greatest, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's what he told them after this. He said, listen, the greatest. And Jesus was the greatest among them. Those that are greatest actually are the ones that have the most authority to clean you up from the effect of sin. How? Ephesians 5, by the washing of the water, by the word. By the word, by the word. It's the words of truth that are living waters that clean people up from the effect of sin. That's what he said in verse 25 before 26. This is the Lord speaking about himself and the church, your mama. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to sanctify her. Why did he give up himself? Why did Christ give up himself that day? Tie a towel, bend over, and start washing the dirty feet of the teenagers he led around as disciples. They were teenagers. You know it. Then listen to the message. This way I explain why. Clearly. Only Peter and I'm big small. That's why he was the boss guy. He washed their feet. It was incomprehensible. It's not done. That's why Christ gave up himself. Gave up his pride, his reputation, appearance, and bent. Their legs were not like your legs. Your feet are clean. They wore sandals mostly. The streets of Jerusalem and wherever they traveled were not like your tarred roads. These feet were dirty. It was not demonstrative washing. It's not anointing feet, anointing sand. It was the washing of dirty feet. That is where they separate you from the earth. That's where you are separated from the dirt, the defilements of this world. James 1, last verse. True religion and undefiled is to visit the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That was what Jesus was doing. Removing the pollution of this earth. So every time you sit here and you're wondering, oh, don't cheat your exams. Oh, don't tell lies. Oh, don't disrespect your parents. Oh, this. Oh, that. You're being washed. I didn't know it's bad. But me, I'm even better than my friends. The job of the greatest in your midst should be to clean you up. Did I just hear you tell someone on the staircase as I was passing? Did you actually tell him, get out of my face? What happened? Nothing, son. Come here, stand here. What happened? Nothing really. Do I look like I'm smiling with you? What happened? I was just, nothing really. Well, go back and tell him sorry. Maybe I'll tell him later. Run down now. Don't come back here till you're found him, tell him, sorry, I just washed your feet. Do you ever think like that? No, you want water, soap, oil. You have allowed the dirt of this world, the behavior of this world to come on you. Now you are carrying it around on you. You're defiling the body of Christ. You're messing up things. Now every time you hear something that teaches you how to stay clean, 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 unspotted from this world, true religion, the real Christianity. And he said, this translation says, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father. The real deal. Who wants the real deal? Or you want that thing where you show up in front of Jesus, he says, I don't know you. I don't know you. Do you want which one? Pure and undefiled religion before God, before people, they will have another standard. But if you want to be in God's good books, you're going to have to be clean. And he told him, back to John, and he told him, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. John 13 verse 8. Now, Peter being very alarmed. Eh? Hey, well, is it that serious? This one. Bat me. Next verse. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Bat me. Just listen to what Jesus says for those who are confused. These were believers. Jesus told him, whoever has already bathed needs only to wash his feet and he will be completely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. What is this? Listen to me, young Christian who struggles. When you sin after you have come to know Jesus, it's not that you stop being a child of God just because you contaminated yourself with this world again. All you need to clean is the part of you that is defiled. Do you understand? You don't need to get born again. That's why so many people are not born again. They believe that, after I went out and gave my life to Christ, I now sinned again. I am no more born again. Then they give themselves fully to sin. No, it's your feet that got dirty when you were last stupid. Go and get your feet washed by someone greater than you. James 5, you're not still sure, verse 6, verse 14. Down. If is any one of you sick, this is physical or spiritual, he should call the elders. Why is he an elder? Not, you may even be older than them age-wise, but spiritually they are older than you, to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. Say restore. To restore means to put as it was before. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Are you washing? Are you watching? Are you washing? That was deliberate error. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Because that's what's in play here. He called for elders, the greater. Therefore, when we go back, we go to John 13, we'll see where it says, he that is greatest among you shall be your son. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. This is sand being washed off. Therefore, you want to be sick? Well, you want to be washed? You want to be clean? Confess your sin. This is sand. This is dirt. This is you being cleaned up. This is what Jesus was enacting. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. So it is not to bring water here physically. It is to put my hands and say, Father, forgive. I remit your sins on behalf of Jesus. With the authority, the lesser is blessed of the greater. He that is greatest among you should be your servant. Serve you how? By separating you from worldliness, from sin, whatever it takes. From forgiveness to correction to rebuke, whatever it takes to help keep you clean, 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 clean. That's the job description. So whether the evangelist that came and found you in the bush of the world and brought you out from Egypt, or the pastor that kept you and cared for you and washes you and keeps you clean, or the prophet that brings you a word from the Lord telling you to turn back from your love for the mud and dirt, is so you can stay clean. All of them, the greatest among you, the fivefold ministry where they are not compromised, they have a simple job. We saw it in Ephesians. We didn't read, or we read Ephesians 5. Stop. The beginning of verse 26. It says that he does it to sanctify her. The word sanctify means to set apart. Pay attention, because the average Christian does not know what this means. It means to set apart. That's what sanctify means. Literally. It means to keep specially. I know you think it means to make clean. That can be. That's why you cleaned it, to keep it specially. But it's more of the word to set apart. That's why it's different from cleaning. The sanctification, to make holy, that's the word holy. It means to separate for a purpose. The Lord Jesus washed. Why you must be clean is because you have a purpose. So you can't be like everyone else. Why would you be like everyone else when you have a special purpose? You're called to be part of the bride, the body of Christ, but you're called to be. You cannot therefore be like everybody. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. This is the method he uses. This was what the greater amongst you was to do. The word, the word, the word, the word. The word believed, the word enacted, the word acted out. What does the word say? Whoever sins you retain will be retained. Whosoever sins you remit will be remitted. So they can keep your sin on you or they can remove it. It's a real authority thing. It's real. It's far more real than many Protestants and Pentecostals know. One reason why Christians also have many problems, they have no clue about that your sins can be kept stuck on you or it can be removed. And the Lord has chosen to do a good part of that through the people he places in authority over you. The group of people that believe this the most are the Roman Catholics. Maybe the Eastern Orthodox Church also does. I don't know, but the ones who practice it the most openly, most obviously are the Roman Catholics. Have they abused it? Yes. So they remit the sin of full-time sinners who have no intention of stopping sin. Yes, no? Who has come across an active sinning Catholic? Who was, sir? Who has come across? You, sir. You did. Active. Then you go and zero intention of changing your ways. Zero. No plan. You just say at least once a year. So that's nonsense. And nobody should deceive anybody like that. On the other hand, you know how people have been saved and delivered by simple faith. People have heard, have believed, have gone. Roman Catholics. Better know they are sincere born again Roman Catholics. Whether you know it or not. And priests. And some, well, I don't want to go into that philosophical thing, but they carried themselves and went and said, "Priest, I am," and they confessed and they did their confession and their lives were transformed. Things changed dramatically. Some had powerful encounters with the Lord after that because they are acting in line with the word. Now, Protestants or Pentecostals went to the other extreme. Nothing like that. Everybody, nah, confess to God. When the Bible is very clear that you confess to man, like the guy there. James 5 verse 16. Hey, but 1 John 1 said what? Says if you confess your sin, James 5 16 tells you to the people that came to you, confess your sin to each other. Therefore, it's like everybody knew one extreme to the other. The answer is usually in the middle. So if you are talking to a clown of a priest who has zero interest in your soul, just sat in the confessional, you can't say, "Father, I've sinned. Yes, my son, make a good confession. Committed the sin of adultery." If I was the priest, "Wait, how many? Sorry, Father. I said, how many women? Father, I can't count them. Try. We have time. Try. Father, they've never asked me before. Last year's when they did. Father, Father, maybe 30 women. You have their phone numbers. Yes, Father. Are you planning to delete any? Delete what for, Father? No. Get out of my confessional. Wicked sinner. If you're a Roman Catholic priest, you're hearing this. If you do this, God might bless you. Don't help people go to hell. It won't be funny. When God sees you, you wish you were a farmer. There are very many people that don't fear God at all. It's a very foolish thing not to fear God. One day, you know how far. Anyways, back to my... But there are those that will... I mean, not that thing where you're doling out. It doesn't matter. No problem. No problem. No problem. What's that? The Protestant went to your extreme. Everyone talks to God. So what did Jesus mean when he looked at his disciples and says, whoever sins you retain is retained. Who sins you remit is remitted. Well, why did he say it? Was he joking? Why did James, who was his brother, tell you, therefore... It's like, call the elders. Now, how many of you know the elders that came to that sick man's house? They're not going to a confessional. That they knew whose house they're looking for. Oh. How many of you knew they knew the house? They said you should call for them. You're so sick, you can't move. You might be spiritual sick. You might have gone there physically. How many of you believe there was something that didn't let them know who they are talking to? Who for one second thinks this person here that confesses sins to one another did not know who he was talking to? So, you can discard the confessional. Are you hearing me? Who doesn't know what a confessional is? I was about to call her and tell her. It is a box with two seats inside. You open one door, you sit down. The priest is sitting in it typically already. On the day of time for confession, different parishioners come. Sit down and confess. Sit like that. You don't know who you're talking to. He shouldn't know who he's talking to, except he knows your voice. That's the whole idea. So there'll be no shame. So you can confess in peace. Let it off your chest. That's why confessional box. All right. So there's nothing like that. Scripture. They knew exactly who they were anointing with oil. Did they spray it? The holes of the confession. All right. I just wanted to be sure that the whole hiding to confess thing. Yeah, it's not scriptural. Don't leave it. I want to confess, confess. I should be able to look at you and say, sinner. It takes humility. Did I tell you humility is magic in the spirit realm? Humility is magic. You want it. You want to be humble. Keep going. He will be forgiven if he has sinned. Yes. Next verse. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now you're wondering, okay, I'll talk to my roommate. Maybe. But what the qualifications for the other? The prayer of a righteous man has great power to prevail. So make sure the person you're confessing to is righteous. Two, watch. So you're sure the kind of person. person. Elijah was a man just like us. Do you see first verse? He said each other. He's trying to let you know that Elijah is each other. Are you hearing me? Didn't you see just like us? That is slow. No, they answer a question like this. Why did he tell Elijah just like you? Have you ever felt you are just like Elijah before? But you're seeing the Bible. Are you acting like we knew? We knew what? Since when did you and Elijah be mate? Don't you know? You have never thought Elijah is like you. Someone that can say fire, thunder, you and everyone dies. 51 men gone at once. He was sitting. He didn't stand up when he said it. They said, man of God, come. I say, if I'm a man of God, fire, fire you. They're gone. Another batch came. If I'm a man of God, the third time the angel said, go with them, go with them. Don't do, don't do. Angel from heaven had to restrain him. But the scripture say it was just like you. Why? He had his fears. A woman said, he took off. He was human. That's the point. He felt what human beings feel. He even felt suicidal and said God should take his life. You should know that. And he's also trying to tell you that a righteous person comes from ordinary people. He prayed earnestly that it will not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. So he's trying to say that there's people whose prayer can be deemed as earnest. Are you seeing the importance of earnest prayer in forgiveness of sin? This is why you can't be getting that kind of forgiveness from someone who is a joker with sin themselves. Are you hearing me? You don't go to someone who doesn't care about sin. It's not a big deal. Just casually. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-mm. There's an earnestness, a righteousness in the character of the person you want to help relieve you from the weight of sin. Can you see why it can't just be anybody? I've explained. So this is it. So Elijah is the example. Earnest prayer results in mercy. In his instance, 3.5 years, it was for the whole land. It was a big deal, bigger deal. But do you see that it's rain that came as a result, not blood? You notice it's rain that this person that is used as an illustration brought down by the washing of the water by the word. Are you understanding? So as they speak the word over you, Father, I ask for forgiveness. Your word says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive it. Father, they have confessed, forgive it. Amen. Sometimes I pray like that. Other time I might say, you said there's no sin which man commits. You said it should be forgiven them. Forgive. Simple. It's the washing of the water at the word. God mandated it. You obey it. Things happen. Many people don't know this. So they are not healed of their physical or spiritual sicknesses. Many don't know that. Many Christians, you're sick as a norm. You take it for granted. Oh, I am on this medication. But I encourage you, if you don't like hearing me preach necessarily, you should at least listen to the testimony, which comes before the meeting starts. So before I step up to preach or anything, go online, go to our live section or the audios on Telegram, on our website or YouTube or wherever. God's that house. And listen to the testimonies. Maybe. Now, I've heard very few of them. There are many, hundreds, or I mean, who knows? It might be 1,000 or more that I've not heard. I just started some months ago to try to listen to the testimony since I'm not here when it's happening. And I'm sure you will hear people tell stories about multiple sicknesses, chronic, serious stuff that has they've been healed of. And even they many times don't know. They just keep saying, I don't know when I got healed. It's a problem I had from 6 years old till I came here. You keep hearing that. It is this scripture happening in their lives. Without special prayer, without even, I've prayed specific prayers. I've prayed for healing, physical healing specifically, many times. Not many, few times. But I am saying a lot of those healings that happen without mention, because many of them wouldn't even think they can be healed of it. After all, they've always had that backbone problem. They've always had that blood problem. They've always had that pain. They've lived with it. They've grown with it. It didn't occur to them that they would ask for it to be healed. And God removes it. So every time you hear someone say, I don't know when I was healed of this. I had this problem and I've been delivered from it. I'm showing you how. When they confess sin, when they open their mouths and say, because we teach confession of sin as a norm. There's seasons, you know, when if you're part of this church, it's normal. At some point, you're going to open up on things. Those things result. When the sin is removed, the sickness often goes with it that came as a result. Now, can you imagine how much more healthy the body of Christ would be if they confess sin more? How much more healthy the body of Christ would be? And how much money have people been saved? How much richer can you be just by not having to live on medication or pay hospital bills? I've come to understand that a major manifestation of the spirit of poverty is affliction. It's not that money never comes to you. It's that money doesn't stay for you. It goes to problems. It runs after problems. So what you could have had to be more comfortable and be able to be a greater blessing, you can't have. Why? Because these problems, take it away. The Lord Jesus showed us how it's to be done. He told us how it was to be done. He said, hey, wash. And go back to John 13. Let's finish that. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed, let me finish. Look at me. Go back to the previous verse, verse 13. No, 12. Whoever has already bathed. So let me repeat that for whoever didn't get it. If the sister has already given her life to Jesus, she has been cleaned from head to toe. She has believed on Jesus, but she may dirty her feet, stumble. James 3, we all stumble in many ways. Her mouth may have caused her to err. She may have been disrespectful, unforgiving. She may have even fallen to immorality in some way, defiled herself physically or mentally or otherwise. That's dirt. It's to be washed off. She has already bathed. She only needs to wash the part of her that came in contact with this dirty world and got dirtied by it when it went to that website, when it went to that channel, when it engaged in that conversation. That's what needs washing. It will can only be washed in line with the word of God. And when that happens, what did Jesus say? He will be completely clean. That's just cleaning that part restores the person to a clean state, because you're clean generally, except for that part that has become defiled. And you are clean. See the Lord, though not all of you. He just added that. Who was he talking about? Judas. So Bros Judas was, yeah, that one never back. Or if whatever was being enacted was, it didn't reach him. I think he had stepped out of the room by then to go and collect cash for Christ. That's a far more common thing than you know. There are far more many people that Judas in the body of Christ based on a false gospel than you can believe. Cash for Christ. I come for him. Came for money to make it. So he chose to make it above serving the Lord. And he said it. For he knew who would betray him. That is why he said, not all of you are clean. Keep going. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, he reclined with them again and asked, do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because I am. Do you hear that? He didn't say, well, thank you, but I am your teacher and I'm your Lord. Done. No, it's not maybe. I'm the curious here. I'm the boss here. I am the master. I am. You call me what I am, and you are not wrong. I didn't wash your feet because I'm less than you thought I was. I am exactly what you call me. Now that we've settled that, let's move on. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Woo! The music begins here. Drum roll. I have set you an example so that you should do as I have done for you. You should do as I have done for you. You should do as I have done for you. Have you heard me? You should do as he did. You're here. You're planning to be a leader. You've heard me say things that touch on leadership in the body of Christ this night. Oh, these are the marching orders. You have any other version of how to be a leader in the body of Christ? This 14th day of April, 2023, I've scattered it. You will never be able to say you didn't know. Pastor Ita has messed up your chances of giving an excuse. If you think you're meant to be served day and night, that's your version of being a servant of God, you can be sure your flogging will be extra. You are called to serve. So all the people you admire, they better be doing this. All those people you hold in high esteem, this is how to be a man of God. It's not this other method. They better be doing this. They better be cleaning people up from the effects of sin and death. Because if they are doing anything else, if you've converted your definition of a servant of God into anything different from our Lord and our teacher, you know already you're a false disciple of a false teacher. It definitely is not Jesus that is where you take. So if your own master's primary job is to make you have money, that's the kind of preachers you follow. To make you famous, to make you stand out, to make you make a name. Your Lord and teacher. He said, call no man teacher, for you have one teacher. Matthew 23. So nobody's teaching. All we can do is explain what the master said, the teacher said, and expound and repeat and emboss, stamp it into you. But to come and change it, for me, if I come and change what the teacher said, and I say the teacher sent me, and you follow me, there will be regrets. He said, you should. He didn't say you may. He said, you should wash the feet of people also. That is what you are called to do. You should wash one another's feet. Do you remember where he said, confess your faults one to another? To each other. It is our job to clean up our brothers and sisters from sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. Do you understand that now? You know that passage. Love covers, it removes sin. So I see you doing something that is wrong and you habitually do it. It's not like a mistake. In love, I look at you, I say, Kai, this is my brother, sister. You know how mud, death, kicks to your feet till it cracks. You see, the thing is hardening. You've kept keeping quiet. You have not brought clarity. And said, sister, I know I was telling one of our sisters, you know, that this happened. This is how you ought to respond. That's not how to respond. You ought to say, I am sorry. This is the only response to such error. Now I know you are sorry, but inside you, all you're saying is, oh, how could I be this stupid? It never converted into an expression of words. I am sorry. You've heard me talk about growing up. I didn't know. When they shout at you for doing something, maybe you get a knock on the head or not. Why do you? You stand there quietly and it ends like that. Who knows that type? That's how it ends. That's, you don't even know there's any other way for it to end. I was now in secondary school. My school father, who became at the time was the senior prefect, obviously. Something happened. I left the door open or so. By the time he came out, someone entered the room, stolen something, the cell, senior professor, you know, and taken something. And he rebukes me, you know, and I stand there humbly. I mean, as I left there, I didn't know there's anything else to do. You receive it, you feel guilty, and you move on. And I remember him calling me later and saying, come, say, if I rebuke you, you're supposed to say. The only part I didn't agree with when he said, daddy, I'm like, eh? I have one daddy. He at home, bro. Anyways, I was in jest. I was small. He was in SST. But I remember him saying, you know, he expresses in his way. Come on, I'm not holding it against him. He was a nice guy. And he was a Christian. He was born again. And he said, you're supposed to say, I am sorry. And I said, I'm sorry. But to be honest, that's the first time in my life I knew. After they rebuke you, you now say, I'm sorry. Okay, well. Now, I didn't have much practice. Anytime I said, but I didn't grow up seeing that. The easiest way to learn it is by seeing it, and practicing it. That's the easiest way to do anything, which is why we have to practice what is good. So we get used to it and pass it on to others. You must, now, of course, what does it take? Humility, you know, and that it takes knowledge. In that case, that was knowledge. I was ignorant. But after that, now that I've known, what does it take? Humility. And it's from there. I remember a classmate of mine. I've told you about who fought me. I fought him or whatever. He fought me, okay? We were talking and he said something. I said, your father is this. So I said, his father is back. And he slapped me and I floored him. You know, it was a sequence of unfortunate events. I was born again. I was in jest. But I mean, this Saturday night prep, this Sunday morning, my heart, my conscience is playing a full band set back up. Boom, back, boom, back, back, boom, back, 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 back. Hey, some of you, your conscience, the band is scattered. You're wondering, what is he talking about? I've explained. You don't have a band. When there is a man, the full complement, drummer, bass, guitar, everybody was present. And as we finish Sunday morning service, I go after him. I meet him around the door of the big dining hall, the entrance as I'm exiting. And I say, I'm sorry. His name was Ikbosi Nemem. And I say, I remember his first name. You're not thanking. One say his surname, one blood. And I said, I'm sorry for pushing you down or fighting you or whatever. And he said, I'm the one that should say sorry. I mean, 12 of us were supposed to be born again. I'm the one that should say sorry. I was 11 or 12 years old. But the point is, see, I was practicing what I'd learned. So you practice. Yeah, you hear, you don't do. Why do you hear and you don't do? Don't you know to whom much is given, much is expected? You must obey what you've known. People will not enter trouble because, yeah, see, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 or so, it says, the times of ignorance, God winked at. That's God closed his eyes at 17 verse 30. Although God overlooked the ignorance of earlier times, he now commands all people everywhere to repent, metaneo, change how you think. All right? Now let me tie those my loose ends up so I can pray for first timers and begin to wrap up. The Lord Jesus said, truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I'm doing. All of you, miracles, right? You wanted miracles, right? And I see Holy Spirit, just finish that. All of you are waiting for power, feet washing, sin cleansing. Hi, Holy Spirit, he set up that. No power, no charge for power. In my mind, I prepared. I want to talk about different giftings, power, authority. Don't you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord?
Love the Lord.
Do you love the Lord?
I love the Lord.
Does anybody love the Lord?
I love the Lord.
I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the second time you have sung that song. Clip it out and give it to us. A good song. It's very short. As soon as you come. David, have you heard? Give us that song this night. He'll do even greater things than this because I'm going to my father. Let me say what I wanted to say, though, a little. Never doubt God's ability to do through you things that he didn't do. And one of the things I think he does, for example, is to bring answers and healings and things to people without them having faith. Jesus constantly told people, do you believe? They would even come to him and he would say, do you believe I can do it? And they would say, yes. So according to you, your faith be it unto you. But I have walked in it. I have seen people walk in it. I've had servants of God walk in it. Where I ignore your faith, whether I have or not, and pray for the thing and it happens without you agreeing, without you having faith for it. Who has seen this kind of thing before? Have you read how many times Jesus said, according to your faith? Oh, go and read it now. A blind man will be shouting, they'll bring him to him. You ask, what should I do for you? So I think that's one of the greater things that we've already been working for a while. Where you don't necessarily, I say, go and look at the miracles of Jesus. Typically, they had to come. They had to trust. They had to ask. Typically. But we've seen God do things without people asking, even with people who even disagree. I think it's one of the greatest manifestations of doing greater things. He promised it will happen. How can you be offended? Some people try to defend. Say, are you saying you're greater? Don't be ridiculous. The one who gave the power said he's going to do it. You will do even greater things than I am doing. Why? I'm going to my father. When I came for my father, I came with a certain package. I'm going to my father. I'm going to ask for 10 more cartons. That's the thing. Can you see that picture? He chose to make it so. And if you want some evidence, practical from the scriptures, take note that Jesus only preached within Judea to the lordship of the house of Israel, but he told his people as he was leaving, start where? In Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the ends of the earth. Jesus touched Samaria briefly, but he told them they would even go to the ends of the earth. That's another example. He's not jealous of those he sends. Are you hearing me? He didn't hear me. The Lord is not competing with you. He knows all the power you walk in. He gave you. Is that clear? All right. Have I tied up all my loose ends? I don't think there's any other loose end. So I can say this much. What has the Lord? Is there anything? I'm not hearing you. I'm looking at you. What word? Number two word. When they said English, do English is a compulsory course. I kept wondering, Batu. I kept thinking of an African country. There's nothing I've not thought of. Let it not be said of you, bathroom word. Let it not be said of you that, or may this not be your confession. Oh, I remember the years where I didn't know this. So we made mistakes. But by God's grace, we have come to know. The way he was coming to me, I think I was coming out of the bathroom and it was how some people, you're going to deviate off the path of progress in your ministry. Some for 2 years, 4 years. Because you didn't just learn it at once. Rather, you allowed yourself to make unnecessary mistakes. You chose to learn through experience when you could have learned through listening. Example, you don't have to practice the erroneous version of prophetic ministry. And then you come to a place where you now find out the correct thing and now start trying to correct your errors. You don't have to teach error. And then come and correct yourself. Well, sorry, I want to correct myself. And one of the ways you prevent this is don't step out too fast to do anything. Be quick to hear, but slow to speak. Don't be quick to want to teach things you barely understand. You can say things lightly and say, I don't know more than that. I've taught this house all of that. I was in a minister's conference and the servant of God said, so and so, all of us used to believe that. I didn't even know why. I said, I didn't, because I never believed it. I never thought that error. Now I know some of them were older than me. They might be like 10 years on average, 10 years older than me. They're in that age range. So they did ministry 10 years probably before me or even longer. And they didn't learn. Why I haven't made many of certain kinds of mistakes is because my educational process took a while and I wasn't into full ministry or a lot of active ministry too early. That allowed me to do more of studying of the word and paying attention. And also because early in my walk in God, I shared this on Wednesday, I think, I learned the importance of carefully assessing what I read in the Bible. The importance of grounding what I do in the Bible. I learned it early. So all these things about copying, and was it here or where was it? I was talking about a spiritual father. Oh, he was in the school of ministry. Red Chair Truth. Okay, hasn't come out yet, but I was recording a session for Red Chair Truth, and I was being interviewed on spiritual fatherhood, and I was again saying something I've said many times about how I didn't have a human spiritual father who concern. And that way I was able to be much more objective. You know how you take sides on something because of the person who is your spiritual father. No, I didn't feel any, I had no pressure to do any such thing. Didn't need to take sides. I could look at something and be objective. Is this right or is it wrong? So that really helped me. So by the time I was thrust out into active ministry in the body of Christ, service in the body of Christ, I already was aware already. No, you don't do that. No, you don't pray like that. No, you don't use prophetic giftings like this. I'm not saying I wasn't still learning many amazing things, but I just had far less accidents. The whole trial and error method. Okay, we try this. Okay, we invite people from everywhere to come and preach. They spread confusion and pain in the body. They rob people. Then you now discover after 3 years that no, you shouldn't do that. That you don't take a little baby or little babies and hand over to big rough boys. That you protect young ones. You protect them. You keep them in a safe space, quiet space with tender, gentle people. You know, it's not till you have made the mistake, till you have done this. So this was like the warning, okay, that I pray, and it's my prayer for you, and something we pray about now, you know, that you should not be someone who learned by trial and error. Learn by knowledge from the word. Learn it, see it, learn the examples from others that have gone before you in the books, the messages. Say, okay, and go out. Go out with the awareness that I don't have to make a mistake. I don't have to cause pain. I don't have to stumble, crack two of my upper teeth, and then after they fix it, now I'm a careful person. What? It doesn't have to be so. You can maintain all your spiritual teeth. It can be in place. You can be fine. You can do God's will with very few bruises. You can. And all areas of life, marriage, anything, school, it's after by year two. Second semester, I realized I have to sit up in this university. No, it doesn't have to be so. You could know that from first semester, year one. You could just sit up at once from first semester, year one. Not till you have 3 EPs. Have you heard? Do you understand? And you now spend the rest of your time trying to catch up. People are constantly making these mistakes. Doesn't have to be so. I hope I've conveyed it properly. At the time I got here, I didn't know. I just thought it usually comes as my thought. And as I was standing here, I realized I gave you a message, you know. So please, how will you avoid making many mistakes? Be very attentive. Ask questions. Obey. Practice what you're taught. Do it long, long, long before you come into ministry. Every once in a while, I say something or I see someone reacting to something and I keep saying, wow, this person has not caught up. There's a lot. I only feel a bit worse when the person has been around for at least 2 years. Wondering by now, you should have listened to a lot more. You should know way more. You have to stop expressing surprise over things I've thought 50 times. It means you have not listened. It means you, there's something you that still thinks, no, but I know a lot. You don't know. Whatever you think you know, you're going to need way more than you have. You need, it's like having 18,000 naira in your account when you're going to need 400,000 naira for rent only. Only rent to be 400,000 and you're happy because you've never had 18,000 naira in savings. That's the condition of many people. And I hope my illustration was good enough. It's actually not 400,000, it's 2 million. But I was trying to, but once I say that, you're out of the classroom. You're not even hearing me again. Let me say what you can. We need way more than we have for the things we are called to do spiritually. The spiritual bankrolling you need, that you are not yet aware. Every time I tell you, you're not going to be, I can't just tell you about demons. You're going to have to have dealt with demons a bit more, a lot. You're going to need to have cast them out, gotten used, learned to identify manifestation, learned. There's a whole lot. That's one area of 200. Then there's all these things. You're going to need to know the word of God inside, outside, because you're going to face all sorts of things. You're going to be able to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. You're going to be able to learn to have fortitude, to be strong, no matter how weak you are, and you keep doing the will of God, even though your body is screaming. You're going to need to enter into the dimensions that you're even unacquainted with the Lord, and then practice it for 10 years. That kind of thing. For it to become second nature. I don't mean you have to 10 years before you enter ministry. I'm just saying that practice of whatever you think you learned, you're going to need a lot of it. And then you are going to take on enemies you cannot possibly face. So you're going to have to get used to working with angels. They are sent to serve those that are called to salvation. You're going to have to learn to cooperate. I almost thought today they would, but cool. You're going to have to cooperate with the angelic realm, not stand in their way or be a blockade. You're going to need to know you can't command them. So how do you cooperate with them? There's so many things. And the extra warning was about immorality. 1 Corinthians 6 says, Every other sin which a man commits is outside his body. But he that commits fornication sins against his body. It's not just your physical body. You're sinning against the body of Christ you are part of. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Now, go back and read from chapter 5 down. Assignment. Let's read that. Read 1 Corinthians 5. He said, if you defile his body, destroy his body. He said he'll destroy you. He actually said so. And we had a prophetic word that said, tell your young men to stop giving their seed to strange women. I told you a story here 1 or 2 weeks ago about, you may not know, you may think you have the ability to just have as many children as you like, but understand that if it's godly seed, he said, tell them not to give their godly seed to strange women. The only woman that should carry your child should be your wife. The seed should go into her womb. That's the only, I'm talking to the men. Since we are not having the men's meeting tomorrow, the guys' meeting to be next Saturday because of the exam, I want them to be able to come and be undistracted. So next Saturday, make sure you're around. Make sure you invite as many people as possible. Not this Saturday, next Saturday. Guys only. Invite them steadily. Maybe God will save some powerfully and deliver them. Already so many people have lost so much. You've thrown away so much. You don't know. Sometimes people are allocated children in the spirit realm. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You may have lost some people. Some of people don't even know that. Some of them, when you got saved, God gave you new children. You may have had none. Human beings, those, oh dear, no time. All right. Avoid immorality. It's not just for the guys, for the guys and the girls. I was just adding that one for the, you know, general word. But immorality, I was somewhere around Ibiam Street. I think we're coming like this. What immorality will do to you is far more severe than you know. Avoid it. Is this clear? That's all I have to say. I'd like us to stand here. We had questions, maybe next week. We are going to pray quickly. I'll pray for the first timers. Someone tells you, you think your church is better than a church. Tell them that's not what I came to tell you. And tell them what you had to tell them. Ignore their what they are saying. Okay? Don't hesitate to tell someone the truth. Just tell them the truth. I want us to thank the Lord for 15 seconds. I'm grateful for everything I've heard and learned today. Father, we give you praise. We honor you. We thank you. Thank you for light and understanding and revelation. Be exalted, glorious one. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, I want you to ask the Lord to help you truly. When you say, Lord, help me be like you. Today we saw that you're supposed to be humble and you're supposed to help separate people from sin, not push them into sin. I want you to ask the Lord quickly, 15 seconds, forgive me for all the ways I've helped to dirty my brother or sister's feet. Pray, Father God, forgive me. Every way your children have helped to dirty the feet of their brothers and sisters by tripping them up, by even making them worldly, by reducing their ability to walk in the things of the Spirit. Good Father, forgive. Forgive for the sin of tripping up our brethren, weakening them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Then two more prayers and I'll pray for you. Ask the Lord that you want to be the greatest, be the least. Wash your brethren's feet. It's a dirty job. It's a tiresome job. It's not an exciting job. I understand. I have been tempted so many times to push back and say, don't worry, whatever happened, God help you, amen. Forgive me, amen. And move on. I've been so tempted. It's why many times people tell me, remember I told you something, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't remember. You might think this thing is so terrible. Pastor, always remember. I forget it so often. It's not even in my head anymore. I want you to ask the Lord that you will be able to serve like him. You will do the greater thing. And what is that? To the ends of the earth. Jesus preached within a limited place. You are permitted to help people come to Jesus everywhere. A woman came to save my daughter. I said, I was not sent to you. The woman made noise. His disciples said, please help her now. And he finally said, okay. But you are permitted to preach to anyone, anytime, anywhere. Ask the Lord, help me fulfill what you desire by being a source of cleansing to human beings in my life. Let me be as you were. Greater works, let me do. You said I would do greater works. Let me do the 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 greater works. Lord, let me do the greater works. Lord, let us walk. This was a promise. Let us see it happen because we believe. We believe. We believe. Let me be a source of cleansing from sin. Let me be a source of washing wherever I go, wherever we go. Let us be a source of washing. Let us be a source of purification. Good Jesus. Thank you, good Father. We delight in you. Finally, ask God for grace to humble yourself. Everything we've said, you'll not do if you can't humble yourself. Father, help me humble myself. Help me go down. Help me go down. Deliver me from pride. Some of you don't know what pride is. Ask God to give you a revelation on pride. You don't know. Some of you are very proud. You don't know what it means. You don't know what humility is. Lord, help us understand humility. Thank you. Thank you, good Father. Amen. Lift your hands. Father, I'm asking for everyone here. You see them. You hear them. Father, I'm asking that according to this word, I am asking for a collective remittance of sin from everyone who has been hindered, even from step, even the sin of unbelief. I ask for forgiveness. I ask for cleansing from their hearts and their minds, all of them. I ask, Father God, for a release of grace to walk in life and peace. I ask that their feet be clean and they be unspotted by this world.
Amen.
Help them go forth and clean others up. Let there be an amazing unction on them. Give encouragement to those who believe. Let your power be great. Thank you, good Father. Amen. Father, I'm asking for every offering that has been given or will be given that you receive it according to your name and grace. Let it extend your kingdom. And I ask as they go, your hand will be with them. You give them peace and provision. Guide and direct them in the things that please you. Let them use the time they have now to prepare for the jobs they have tomorrow. Help them understand these things personally. Deliver them from the power of immorality. Help them deliver others from the power of immorality. That person that was supposed to do something stupid tomorrow, even today, Karabaku Braba Shati Kadu Suprada. I rebuke the spirit of folly over you.
Amen.
Spirit of folly, Karibata. You spirit of lust, I bind you. Take your hands off. I command you to move.
Amen.
I ask for clarity in the mind. Let them learn to walk in holiness.
Amen.
Let the word flow like a mighty river. And let them live clean.
Amen.
That bondage you think is unbreakable. Hey, it's even broken. You're the one keeping the chains. If you follow that chain, you see it's linked to nothing. It's folly in your heart and habits bound to your soul. Father, I ask that you give help from Zion.
Amen.
Thank you, good Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things. And hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.